Hare Krishna. We're living at a very difficult time, an extremely difficult time. Srimad Bhagavatam says that this time is the most difficult of all times. It is Kali Yuga, where religion practically disappears. Prayin alpayusha sabya kalavas min yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hupadrita. People have very short lives. Their memories are disturbed. Their minds are disturbed. The full functioning of the mind and the brain does not continue until the end of life. Sometimes we find people being subject to mental difficulties, mental health problems. The World Health Organization says that in this century, the biggest disease will be mental health problems. If you have a mental health problem, that may be followed by dementia, where you lose the full functioning of your brain. People are pursued by, what does it say, the owls and the ravens and the hawks of tax collectors and false leaders, political leaders who are no better than rogues and rascals. This is the information that is given by the Bhagavatam. Our life is short, it's disturbed, we're always looking for something that we cannot find. And then someone says, why not try spiritual life? Because the forest fire of Kali Yuga is so bad, we look for the soothing waters of spiritual life. And the Bhagavatam says, even when the resident of Kali Yuga looks for spiritual life and comes running away from the forest fire, he comes and he dives in the ocean, or he dives in the river, what he thinks is a deep river, but it is only very shallow, and he cracks his head on the bottom. So people look for spiritual guidance, and they look towards someone who seems very deep, very heavy with knowledge, and then they crack their head on a stone at the bottom of the water, which is no deeper than a puddle. So Kali Yuga is very, very difficult. At gatherings of intelligent people, dinner parties, all over the country, all over the Western world, people are decrying the existence of God. People are saying, how can God exist? Because the very persons that proclaim that God exists are doing such horrible things in the name of God. So if they're doing such horrible things in the name of God, then God must be horrible. So the business of the Krishna consciousness movement, this Radha Krishna consciousness movement, is very difficult business. Very difficult to take the message of a compassionate, kind, merciful, all-embracing Mother God to the general public, isn't it? It's very difficult. There was some academic came here, and one devotee was taking them around, and I heard them in the lobby there, and devotee was explaining this is a monotheistic tradition. She was saying, but Hinduism believes in many gods, you know. And immediately, of course, you've labeled this as something which is a mythologized understanding. So she said, no, the Krishna consciousness, we speak of one God. So come and I'll show you. And immediately she brought this person in to see the altar here. And she showed, he said, here are the deities. Here are the deities. You see, we believe in one God, and here are the deities. Here they all are. Deity is one. It means God. It means the Supreme Being. How can there be many more than one Supreme Beings? And yet at the same time, people are looking for a better understanding than an anthropomorphic old man who must be old because he is God and he was there at the beginning of creation. People are looking for something. on the radio the other day, there was a speaker giving the thought for the day. Something a longer program, something understood, 20 minutes or so. And she was explaining how theology must come to understand the divine feminine. But she said this with trying to present a situation that this is, theologians must plumb the depths of their understanding to try to recreate a divine feminine. Because in all of Judeo-Christian tradition, there is not a divine feminine, except if you go a little bit and there's the Shekinah or the Jewish feminine, Holy Spirit, if you like, the Ruach HaVurah is meant to be feminine. But anything more than this label, which in some cases is nothing more than a biological gender superimposition on God, a hopeful, wishful thinking, there's nothing more than this. There is no theology. So with the Krishna consciousness movement that Prabhupada has given us, we really do have the hopes and the ultimate ambitions of theologians and the ordinary public in best interest. And Srila Prabhupada, the founder of our spiritual movement, he said that this movement will save the world in its darkest hour, which means that each and every one of you has to be a purveyor. Prabhupada was the wholesale agent, and you were all the retail agents. And he said that Radharani will give herself to that person who makes Krishna famous or well-known within the world. Because that's Srimati Radharani's desire, not just simply to be with Krishna herself, but to bring others to him. Famous painting that Prabhupada liked was of Radha and Krishna being combined by the gopi who was bringing them together. It was painted in 1922. Prabhupada liked this painting very much. We used to have it hanging upstairs and Prabhupada would look at it. So he said, this is Krishna consciousness. This is the mood of the devotees of Krishna, to have the mood of Radharani, to bring others together with Krishna, to enjoy Krishna's company. So, to be a devotee of Radharani means to be able to bring others to Krishna. And we get the blessings of Radharani in order to do that by making the effort. Now, most of our movement is, you could say, hopeless effort. Just last week or 10 days ago, I was in New York, and we were walking around the streets that the original devotees walked, and reading the recollections. There's a couple of books going around at the moment of the original. Well, there's about seven books actually. And we walked past the cinema where the Hare Krishna film was being shown. Please do all go and see it when it comes to London. We're trying to arrange for it to come to London. But devotees they told me they were leaving the cinema. This is the only time you can go to a cinema and you come out with tears in your eyes. So they were saying that people were crying because this recreates Prabhupada's original efforts. It's almost a hopeless effort. So we speak this story many, many times. It's part of the legend of Hare Krishna, isn't it? One man on the boat filled with the desire to bring Krishna to the Western world, to do the bidding of his guru, to give Krishna in English. And he came, and people were attracted because of his pure devotion. And then we look in the mirror as we're putting on our tilak, and we're thinking, well, I'm glad somebody else did it. I'm glad it didn't have to be me. Difficult thing is, my friends, that we are the next generation. That Prabhupada did not just come to start the Hare Krishna movement. He came to start all of you, all of us. This is the point. The Prabhupada came to give the knowledge of Krishna with the compassionate blessings of Srimati Radharani, not simply to start a movement. That's just a start. It's a bad farmer who thinks my job is done when he puts the seed in the soil. It's a good farmer who thinks, now, what about that water? What about banging a tin, a biscuit tin, to scare the crows away? You see in India, the little boys banging a tin. Banging a tin. What about pulling out some weeds? All these things have been left to the gardeners, which means every single one of us is responsible for taking the teachings of Krishna consciousness directly from A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada on into the world. Now, you're looking in the mirror and you're putting on your tilak and you think, oh my God, it's a hopeless task. Look at me. How can I possibly give that message? So therefore, Prabhupada said, that is the point at which you pray to Srimati Radharani. Because Radharani's greatest desire is that you will be an agent of Krishna, that you will be able to do that. And today of all days, we frame our consciousness and we put our head at her lotus feet and we say, my dear lady, my dear queen of Vrindavan, I'm useless. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. How can I take the message of your Krishna to people who really don't want to hear it? They really don't. They think they don't, actually. But my experience of many, many years tells me that the people who don't want, who do want Krishna, are often the people who put up a fight. We had one of our devotees, his spiritual life started when he was sitting in an apartment and he was looking at devotees building the Rathyatra chariot. And he and his friends would gather for drinking parties. And when they'd finished a beer bottle, they used to go to the window, used to lob it out the window, and it used to smash on the ground in front of the devotees who were building the Rathkan. So, this is how he started his spiritual life. Hopeless case? Huh? Would you say? Hopeless case? Hopeless. Why should you preach to such a person? Must be a demon, rascal, fool, nonsense, pagal baba. Must be a completely useless Kali Yuga specimen. Why would I waste my time? I have something which is so refined. My consciousness is so high. Look at me, I'm putting on tilak. My consciousness is so refined, I could never come down to that level to speak to someone, even who drinks beer. I will never even go near such a person. I might become contaminated. Okay? This is not the thing that our acharyas came to give. Anyway, later on that person took sannyas, and he went on to become a leader in our Krishna consciousness movement. No, you don't need to know names. We never discuss Purva Ashram, never discuss the last life, that is last life. Another devotee, he used to wear these big bhava boots, and you'll see where I'm going, you know, because everybody's thinking, well, this is a nice creeper moy, but when are you going to get to the Radha Krishna Leela? What I'm saying is that if Srimati Radharani is working in your heart to extend yourself to others, and in that person's heart, in order to uncover the original dormant love for Krishna, that is something very special that's happening. So he used to be, you know how in the olden days, the men would be at the front. Ladies, you remember that? Maybe you're too young to remember. Vedavati, you remember. The men used to be at the front leading the kirtan, because that's what men do, right? Ladies, they lead. Okay? Are you getting this? Men lead, and women? Okay. That was the old Hare Krishna movement. Okay. Then we noticed that the men at the front had to sometimes deal with the thugs and the police who came, and they'd get beaten first. So we put the ladies at the front, because, of course, we're very, very Renaissance men. We're very, very developed. Anyway, so at the end, there were the ladies, unfortunately, used to get the brunt of anybody used to target the Hare Krishna movement. And there was this person who used to come up behind the devotees, behind the women, and he had big boots, big Dr. Martin boots. And he used to use these Dr. Martin boots to kick the women on the back of the Harinam Party. This is his first contact, should we say. His first contact was with his boot, with the devotees. This was his first contact. So when he got initiated, he then took responsibility. It's like Brer Rabbit. You know the story of Brer Rabbit? Brer Rabbit and the fox. Yeah? There was a tar baby. You know the story. And the fox comes and he talks and he says, so then he gets annoyed with the tar baby and he hits the tar baby and he hits and he kicks and he kicks and he headbutts and he sticks. And he sticks. Okay. Actually, the rabbit. No, sorry, the rabbit sticks. So the whole point is that however and wherever you contact this Krishna consciousness movement, something will be stirred in the heart. We just have to create sufficient opportunities for people to do that. And as you're putting your tilak on the mirror, you should see not the person who's the, you know, just the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Yes, but being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant makes you really powerful. As a woman, it makes you very, very powerful. If you're the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, how blinking powerful does that make you? And men, if you are the servant of Srimati Radharani, how powerful does that make you? Makes you very powerful. There is a story of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at Radhakund. And they noticed a local king. The local king was coming to pay his respects to Radhakund. And he said to his disciples, he said that, you see this king? He is coming to pay his respects to Radhakund because it is the lake of Radharani, and it is she is very dear to Krishna. He said, but we are here, he said, because we are disciples and followers and devotees of Srimati Radharani, and we are coming here because this place, because Krishna is dear to her, and therefore we worship Krishna. We worship Krishna because he's dear to Radharani. Yeah? It is the other way around. And yet, he was always very cautious with his disciples. He would always teach them that don't try to understand Srimati Radharani without understanding your position as a servant. So in order to understand your position as a servant, you remain at Kusum Sarovara, which is a lake that's nearby Radhakund. And if you are called, then you can attend your guru, who is at Radhakund. He said, always keep the Radhakund and always keep the Rasalila of Krishna in front of you and above you. This is the motto. Always keep in front and above. Never think that you have arrived, because we have never arrived. This phrase, now I understand, should never come from our lips. Now I understand. If we say, I'm such a fool, I don't understand anything at all. And this is always the best way for a Vaishnava to think. At the same time, Prabhupada said, you should always think of yourself as a very small dog. He said, you have seen the small dogs in New York. He said, sometimes the rich people carry a very small dog. You see people carrying a Chihuahua puppy. He said, sometimes it seems that the richer the woman is, the smaller the dog. Isn't it? Why is that? I don't know. But the richer they are, the smaller. And some dogs, they get right down to like that, Chihuahua puppy. He said, you have seen. He said, but sometimes they're on the street and they see a very big dog. And they will bark. Row, 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 row. He said, how a small dog that should be afraid is barking at a big dog. He said, because he is connected by a lead to his master. You see? And therefore, someone very small and insignificant, he can say anything to a big, important person if he knows my master is right behind me and I am connected. So each and every one of us, how is it that we can move forward in our humility and be smaller than the smallest and humbler than the humblest and just be a nothingness at the feet of the feet of the feet of the feet of someone who's gone on before, and yet at the same time be very bold? How can we do that? Because we know that we are connected. That's the thing. Chihuahua puppies we may all be, but if we know that we're connected to a divine master, a divine mistress, then we can bark very loudly in an appropriate way. So as I was walking around the streets, I was thinking, how did Prabhupada introduce this subject matter? Because, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Firstly, people don't believe in God anyway. And it wasn't like in the 1960s in America, people were falling over themselves to discover God. You see, there's Atmanubhava and Bhagavadanubhava. Atmanubhava means I want to discover myself. And most people are interested in that. Atmanubhava, I want to discover myself. Science of self-realization. Okay. Yeah, self-realization. One time we put up posters saying, come and meet yourself. The Hare Krishna Festival. And a lot of people came. They said, yeah, I was interested in your poster. You know, I really want to get to know myself better. So the interest is, it's still all about me. I'm chanting Hare Krishna because I really want to be happy. Okay? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Wasn't that Prabhupada's motto? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. I saw a devotee in New York with a new t-shirt. Okay? It said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Then at the bottom it said, in brackets, or at least chant. Hey, it's 21st century, you know, we have modern t-shirts for modern times. So most people are interested in themselves. And this is really how we petition people. Come and understand yourself, self-realization, be happy. We don't often say, come and experience God. Okay? Come and understand God. God is a word that people don't often like to use. I've noticed. Thinking people, they don't really like the word God. And in one sense, you know, Prabhupada he used the word God, but when he titled his society, he avoided the word God. Because God means so many things to so many different people. I was in a room full of people, and they were being asked how to respond to a particular piece of music. And it was some monks chanting, and different people. It was sort of a yoga group, you know. And some people said, oh, beautiful, oh, soothing, uplifting, peaceful, like that. And there's one person said, it makes me very angry. And everybody just looked at her and said, why does it make you angry? She said, because I grew up in a Catholic school. And whenever I hear that music, it makes me angry. So for some people, the word God, it comes laden with a lot of luggage. And it's not just carry-on luggage. It's, you know, the heavy type, full 23 kilos, okay? Or if you fly Air India, 46 kilos. 46 kilos of baggage. From not just this lifetime, but previous lifetimes as well. So the word God sometimes doesn't do much for people. When we say the word God, we think of a beautiful blue boy who was hiding in a box, ready to jump out and surprise Sri Radha. But when they say God, they think of something else completely. So Prabhupada said International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness. What is that? That's curious. So, I have this book. This is the original, I believe it's 1969 or 1970. This is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada takes great care, and I can't do better than Srila Prabhupada. I'm sorry. From me, you may get no leelas. That's why I'm very, very happy that the Bhaktivedanta players did some leela to satisfy the leela appetite. And I hope you won't be too disappointed. Govinda, I know you're very disappointed that I'm not speaking leela. I'm joking. So this is how Prabhupada, in the introduction to his book, which was the teachings that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. This is Prabhupada's, you know, this is him teaching us, not only us, about Krishna and Radha, But this is Prabhupada teaching us how to teach. And that's the thing, because you're all teachers. You're all teachers. Just like someone may say, I speak to many men who get married. I do a lot of weddings. And sometimes, a few months later, the men come to me and they say, Kripa Moya, I just don't feel ready to be a father. You know, I just don't feel ready to be a father. What can I do? Because sometimes 20 years later, they're saying the same thing. No one is ready to be a father. It's something that happens to you sort of after you've become a father. You grow into it. It's like a pair of hand-me-down shoes. Okay? Anybody had an elder brother or an elder? You get their shoes, right? You get their clothes. And sometimes you grow into that. So your father was in the business of becoming a father when he had you. And now you're in the business of becoming a father also. So in the same way, being a teacher or a preacher or a messenger of Krishna consciousness is something that happens to you while you're doing it. Don't think, when I'm pure, then I'll become a messenger of Krishna. When I've developed the consciousness of the gopis in Vrindavan, only then and only then will I speak to someone about Krishna. Our movement, well, Prabhupada laughed at that idea. They came to him and they said, Srila Prabhupada, should we preach now or should we wait until we're pure and then preach? And Prabhupada just laughed. he said, if you wait until you're pure, he said, that day will never come. He said, but if you preach, then you will become pure by making that effort. By making that effort. Because like the little sparrow who makes the effort to drain the ocean, Garuda comes and helps her. You see? So Radharani becomes very merciful. This is just, Prabhupada said, sitting in that seat over there, that beautiful asana that we give to Srila Prabhupada, sitting in that seat there in 1973, he said to all the devotees gathered in this room, he said, if one person comes into this temple room and turns one screw in the wall, he said, then Srimati Radharani will look at him and she will look to Krishna and she'll say, my Lord, here is one great devotee that is doing so much service for you. Please be merciful to him. He said, she is so merciful. And isn't that good for us? Isn't that good for us? There's an old joke about the guy that falls off the cliff. And as he's falling, he manages to reach out his hand and he holds on to a little branch, and it's just that, you know, the branch is falling away from the tree. He says, oh God, God, God help me. See? Everybody believes in God when there's no one else to turn to. Okay? Everybody believes in God. It's desperate because you go right to the core of your very being. Right deep down in the core of your very being is a little voice that says, God exists. Please reach out to him. But we don't hear that little voice. So this man who was falling, he heard that voice and he heard, and he shouted out so sincerely that a voice rumbling like thunderclouds came to him and said, my son, just let go. Let go and I will save you. And he was holding on. And then he called out, he said, is there anybody else up there? So sometimes the messages from Krishna, Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam parityaja. Give it all up. Let it go. Okay? Sometimes we're hanging on to what we do have, could even be our devotee identity. These are all upadis. These are false distinctions. You know? So we create those false distinctions. We're very good at projection. Our whole mind is like a cinema projector, and the world is like a screen. We're projecting. We're projecting on everybody that we meet and everything we think we are. We're just thinking that we are a certain thing. Either we think, I'm helpless, I'm not a devotee, I can't do anything, I've never been good at anything, I'll never be good at anything. Well, that's great, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? Is this the sort of person that Prabhupada came aboard the ship to produce? Huh? I'm not good at anything. I'll never be good at anything. My mother told me I never was good at anything. My father said, and now look at me, putting on tilak. I'm putting mud on my face and thinking I'm so great. I'm nothing. We are trying, you know, I'm an old man, and I'm trying to, you know, encourage you as young people. Hello, Kalindi. Hello. We're trying to encourage you to take forward the Krishna consciousness, but we can't do that if you think, because that's not what it means. To be humble, trinada pisuni china, that's not what it means. It means, I'm small, but don't get in my way. I'm very powerful. I have good connections. When you go out on book distribution, you're meant to be thinking that Rupa Goswami and Narada Muni and Sanatan Goswami and all the Vaishnava Acharyas are showering flowers upon you. That should be your meditation. That each and every one of us is so powerful because we are connected. We are divinely connected and nothing can stop. Nothing can stop us. Where was I? I was going to read something to you. So, Prabhupada, he said, I want to stop because this is, Prabhupada begins, he's talking about love of God, okay? In material consciousness, we are trying to love that which is not at all lovable. We are giving our love to dogs, to cats, with the risk that if we love cats and dogs too much, at the time of our death, we may be fixed in thinking of them, and therefore take our next birth in a family of cats or dogs. Prabhupada cuts right across here this yogic, modern yogic conception. We have a lot of people who are now middle class, middle aged, white yogis. This is another audience that ISKCON has developed. And many, many people, they do not entertain even remotely the idea that this life is a very delicately poised life, because in this life we can go down as well as up. Everybody thinks my past is behind me. Prabhupada very clearly, very clear, don't waste this precious opportunity. You may take birth in a family of cats or dogs. Everything without love of Krishna leads downward. In the Hindu scripture, the chastity of woman is very much recommended. Why? Because if a woman becomes much addicted in love of her husband, at the time of death she will remember him, and in the next life she is promoted to a man's body. That's accepting Vaishnavis. Okay? I'm just reading. Man's life is better than woman's because a man has better facility for understanding spiritual science. Well, I should have read this before, shouldn't I? But this is page 7 of the introduction. He said, but here it goes. But Krishna consciousness is so nice that it makes no distinction between man and woman. In the Bhagavad Gita you will find, if somebody, even if he is born in a low family, even a woman or sudra or vaishya, anyone who takes shelter of me is sure to achieve my association. That is guaranteed. I was doing so well. And Krishna says that if these people can achieve the highest perfection of life, then why not the real Brahmins, devotees, and saintly kings? They are sure to achieve the highest perfection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us information. First of all, you must know that in every country or every scripture, there is some hint of love of Godhead. But nobody knows what love of Godhead actually is. That is the distinction between other scriptures and the Vedic scriptures. Now, this is really important, because sometimes our preaching serves to Prabhupada sometimes says that you eat to please yourself, but you dress to please others. So sometimes in our preaching, we speak according to what we will hope will be found fashionable with other people. So what's very fashionable at the moment in our postmodern times is to dissolve the differences between different religious traditions. To dissolve the tradition, to dissolve the boundaries, to make it all one. It's a form of cultural impersonalism. It's the way in which cultural culturally we try to make one world one, but it's a material way of doing it. And so sometimes we don't teach the distinctive qualities of Krishna consciousness. And so Prabhupada here is saying that there is a difference. That is the distinction. Others have some idea of love of God, but regarding how to love Godhead and what is Godhead, they have no idea. They promote official love of Godhead. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a practical demonstration of how to love God in a conjugal relationship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the part of Radharani and tries to love Krishna as Radharani loved him. Krishna could not understand. How does Radharani give me such pleasure? So in order to study Radharani, Krishna lived her role and tried to understand himself. This is the secret of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. That is explained in the next verse. This verse says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, who is absorbed in the modes of Radharani's thought. He is Krishna, but he has taken the mode of Radharani to show how to love Krishna. And what is Radha Krishna? And Prabhupada here becomes uncustomarily esoteric. This is very interesting. Prabhupada here is it's one of the first books, the introduction to one of the first books, and he's becoming quite esoteric. So I don't think he does it anywhere else, except perhaps in some parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which came, you know, years later. So he says here, what is Radha Krishna? Radha Krishna is the exchange of love. And what is that love? This is not ordinary love. Krishna has immense potencies, of which three are principal: internal, external, and marginal potency. In the internal potency, there are three divisions: Samvit, Hladini, and Sandini. The Hladini potency is the pleasure potency. We must always know that we also have this pleasure-seeking potency. We are all trying to have pleasure. This is the nature of the living entity. We are now trying to enjoy our pleasure potency in this material condition, with this body, by bodily contact. But do you think that Krishna, who is always spiritual, will also seek pleasure on this material plane? What nonsense this is! Krishna describes this place as non-permanent and full of miseries. Do you think Krishna is going to seek pleasure in this material form? How is it possible? He is the Supersoul. He is the Supreme Spirit. How can he seek pleasure in matter? Therefore, to learn how Krishna's pleasure can be obtained, you have to study the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, Krishna's pleasure potency is displayed as he plays with Radharani, as he plays with the damsels of Braja. Unfortunately, and this is right in the beginning, of course, Prabhupada has come to give the Srimad Bhagavatam, but instantly, even though the Srimad Bhagavatam is the medicine, the Oshodi for the disease of Kali Yuga, it comes with a caution. With every medicine, there's the possible side effects, and there's a regime that you follow. Must do not operate machinery after taking this medicine. Take only twice a day. Don't drink milk, etc., etc. Like that. Any pharmacists? Okay. So there's a cautionary note comes along with the medicine. So the medicine is what heals you, but you have to take notice of the cautionary note. So here is Prabhupada giving the medicine to understand the Krishna's relationship with his innermost devotees. But at the same time, the cautionary note is, don't try to understand until you've done this, 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 and this. You must proceed through these levels before getting there. Keep it always in front of you. Keep it as an ultimate attainment. Unfortunately, people of less intelligence turn at once to the pleasure potency sports of Krishna in the Dasama Skanda, the 10th canto. And then he criticizes things that he's seen in India. Now, up to this point, devotees have never seen these things practically. So often Prabhupada was preaching about Radha and Krishna, and he was giving these cautionary notes, and he was speaking about people and imagery that the devotees had never been exposed to. But here he is, he's in full form. These pictures of Krishna embracing Radharani or of the Rasa dance are unfortunately not understood by ordinary men because they don't understand Krishna. They will falsely understand that Krishna is like us. And just as we want to embrace a young girl, so he embraces the gopis. These people write books because they think that this is a kind of religion where we can indulge in sex and become religionists. This is called prakriti sahajya, materialistic lust. One should understand what Radha Krishna is. Radha and Krishna display the pleasure potency of the internal energy of Krishna. That pleasure potency of Krishna's internal energy is a most difficult subject matter, unless one understands what Krishna is. Krishna cannot see any pleasure in this material world, but he has got that pleasure potency. Please forgive me for reading too much. I know it's more difficult to listen to reading than it is to talking. It's so filled with meaning here. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, therefore that pleasure potency is within us also. But we are trying to exhibit that pleasure potency in matter, while Krishna does not. The object of his pleasure potency is Radharani. That means Krishna exhibits his potency or his energy as Radharani and then exchanges loving affairs with her. Krishna cannot take pleasure in this external energy. This is very difficult to understand, but just try. Krishna exhibits his internal energy, his pleasure potency, as Radharani. That means that Krishna manifests himself. As he has so many extensions, so many expansions, so many incarnations, so Radharani is the manifestation of his internal pleasure potency. Okay, we getting there? You right, Governor? Okay. And then Prabhupada goes on. Radharani is also Krishna. You really? There is no difference between the energy and the energetic. Without energy, there is no meaning to energetic. And without the energetic, there is no meaning to energy. Prabhupada often gave the example of the sun and the sunshine. As soon as you talk about the sun, you also have to talk about the sunshine. Because the sunshine comes along with the sun. And if you have sunshine, you know that the sun is there also. They're codependent. So here's Krishna and Radha. They're existing together, energy and energetic source. Similarly, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna. And without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. Therefore, the Vaishnav philosophy, first of all, worships the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. It is always said, Radha Krishna. Although the author, this is Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, is going to explain the intricacies of this pleasure potency, he first of all utters the name of Radha. Similarly, those who worship the name of Narayan first of all utter the name of Lakshmi. Those who are worshippers of Lord Ram first of all utter the name of Sita. Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. The potency always first. Last section. Are you all right? Yeah? I know it's a bit of a test for you. Radha and Krishna are one. When Krishna desires to enjoy pleasure, he manifests himself. The spiritual exchange of love affair is the display of the internal potency or pleasure potency of Krishna. We say when Krishna desires, although just when he did desire, we cannot say. But we speak in this way because in conditional life, we take it that everything has some beginning. In the absolute or spiritual life, there is no beginning. There is no end. But in order to understand that Radha and Krishna are one and that they become divided, that question when automatically comes to be asked. When Krishna desired to enjoy his pleasure potency, he manifested himself in the separate form of Radharani. Again, when Krishna wanted to understand himself through the agency of Radharani, they became united. And that unification is called Lord Chaitanya. Hmm. Why has Krishna assumed that form? That will be explained. What is the glory of Radha's love? Krishna asks. Why is she so much in love with me? What is the special qualification in me that Radharani is attracted to? And what is Radharani's process of loving me? He is the Supreme. Why should he be attracted by anyone's love? He is full in himself. We search after the love of a woman because we are imperfect. The love of woman, that potency, that pleasure, is absent in me, and therefore I want a woman. But Krishna is surprised. Why am I attracted to Radharani? And what is the special significance in me that Radharani is so much attached to? Now, when Radharani feels my love, what is she feeling? What is her feeling? In order to taste the flavor or the quality, the essence of that love, loving affair, Krishna appeared as the moon appears in the sea. And he goes on to talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I thought that was just a wonderful section. Isn't that a wonderful section? And as I said in the beginning, we were the Radha Krishna temple. I think afterwards, for our manifestation to the world, and sometimes to our errant members who want to steal away Srila Prabhupada's society and set it up over here in a different name and style, so we become very masculine, we become very corporate, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and it's very, but really we are a movement of feelings. You know? We're not really a corporate hierarchy. That's just the functionality. That is the instrument by which we get something done. Just like the lungs. The lungs are very important, but they're not supremely important. So of supreme importance is oxygen. That gives us life. As of the lungs, they serve the purpose of helping us find oxygen. So when we have an International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we're talking about the lungs. But the real spirit, what we're really after is Krishna consciousness, which is given to us by Srimati Radharani. So we have to please her. And today is her day. And so we serve her by making two commitments. One, that Krishna belongs to you, not to me. You know, these rounds that I chant every day, this Hare Krishna mantra japa, these rounds actually, my lady, belong to you. Without you, I can't chant. This taste for the Srimad Bhagavatam that I'm meant to be experiencing, but hardly ever do, you can give me that taste, because the Bhagavatam is nothing more than a literary manifestation of the love between you and your Lord Krishna. This whole manifestation of the Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya, all the relationships between devotees, that rests and is composed entirely on the basis of the love that we are given, the scraps of love that we are given in charity by Srimati Radharani. If that is not there, then none of us can love each other. And if none of us can love each other, then there is no international society. There is no international society, because we won't love each other. So for all of this, we need the we need to have the mercy of her. And in order to get mercy, what do we do? Well, Prabhupada says, you act in such a way to be the recipient of mercy. You act in such a way. What is the dear most wish? Prabhupada said, what is the dear most wish of a businessman? He said, a businessman is to make money. He said, this is the one goal of a businessman, to make money. And he said, but in order to make money, he said, you must advertise. You must advertise. So there's no question of scrimping on advertising. When you're selling the biggest commodity, you spend the most money on advertising because you want people to spend the most on your commodities, don't you? So when you're selling something very expensive, you don't think to yourself, well, manufacturing this product was very expensive, therefore let me go down a bit on the advertising and I'll save money. If you make a false economy by not spending money on advertising, you won't sell that very expensive product. You see, when you're selling a car, that's why there's so many car commercials, TV, magazines, radio, billboards, because a car is practically the most expensive product that you'll buy in your life apart from your house. Well, Krishna consciousness is an even more expensive product, and we're asking for people to give their lives. That's a big product. That's a big, big product. We know it's something that they need. We know it's something that they want. Because Prabhupada says we have to do the advertising. So when you do the advertising, he says that Krishna is the manager of the business. He's the CEO. He will always pay for the advertising to be done. And someone is doing the advertising. Hello, my dear friend. Please come. Take this book. Become interested in this mantra. He says that Krishna will always pay such a person. And who is doing the payment? That payment is being done by Srimati Radharani. So it is, she gives us the bhakti, she gives us the shakti to spread the bhakti. She is Krishna's most confidential associate. She loves Krishna the most, Prabhupada says. He says, who is that girl with Krishna? She is the one who loves Krishna the most. So everything that we do follows in her line. Therefore, when we talk about worshipping Krishna, we talk about Aradhanam. Aradhanam. The name of Radha means to worship the Lord. Worship and puja are different. Aradhanam and puja are different. Sometimes puja is the word which we use for ringing bells and waving lamps, and that's all right. But it often means I'm giving you something, but, you know, on the understanding you give me. But a Vaishnava prefaces his ceremonies, his prayers, and these are deep felt prayers, you know, these are the highest prayers that you can utter, with the statement that I know nothing, I am nothing, I'm here only by your grace. And therefore, if you can give me some grace in order to serve you better, so that you can serve Krishna, then this is the... I don't know Krishna, but I, you know, you've given me access to Krishna. Therefore, on this day, certainly on Radhastami day, we pray like that. That on this day, allow me to serve you in some small way. What is the time that we finish? I can go on and on. 10 o'clock. Now you tell me. Well, there is so much more that Prabhupada said, because as he went through, are we doing okay? You're not too, but no one's got up and walked out yet. You're very kind to me. You're very kind to me. But like the man who's going off the cliff, we may find that the prayers that we need to say, they don't come very easily. They don't come immediately. Therefore, we force ourselves to say prayers. And Rupa Goswami has many, many wonderful prayers, and he has shared them with us. See, the whole point is, and when I was young, are we reaching? Okay, thanks. Thank you. When I was young, Prabhupada sat there, and I sat just where that lady is escaping the class. You're going, no? I'm just saying for a joke, just to liven them up a bit. But right where she was standing, I was sitting, and I was trying to understand, you know, when Prabhupada speaks, you listen very carefully, you see. When Prabhupada speaks, you listen very carefully. So I was listening very carefully. And you try to think in some way, this is the play of a disciple, I suppose. You desperately want... I mean, I won't speak for everybody else, but I desperately wanted Prabhupada to say something to me. I wanted that, not only a sense of being connected to Prabhupada, but I wanted him to say something to me. Because there were other devotees, and they had stories. Well, when I was in L.A., Prabhupada said to me, and we would hang on that, as we do today, isn't it? You hang on some... And Prabhupada had never said anything to me. And he never did say anything to me. But except Jai. Over there. But I always wanted to... I was praying to Krishna, Krishna, let Prabhupada say something to me directly so that I can take this for the rest of my life. So I was 20, and Prabhupada said something, and as he said it, he looked at me. What actually happened is that he was looking at everybody. But Krishna made me think that he was looking at me. You know how that happens, don't you? Huh? So Krishna in your heart is Paramatma. And then Krishna in your heart says, he's looking at you. Okay? And so, so then Prabhupada said, he said, this life is very short. He said, you have had many lives before this one, thousands of lifetimes. At least this is how I remember it. Jai Radha Krishna ki jai. He said, in the future, you will have thousands of lifetimes. He said, but just give this one short life to Krishna. And at that moment, I could swear that he looked at me. Okay, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it's just an old man thinking. He said, so just give this one short life to Krishna. And I was 20 at the time, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. It's only a short life after all. And I can actually confirm at the age of 60, 40 years later, that life is very short. Up until 35, 40, you think that life is, wow, it's never going to end. Once you hit 45, you start becoming convinced that although everybody else has died, you might just possibly die too. But it doesn't really hit you until you're 40. And then when you're 50, you start thinking, you know, well, maybe not. You know, I could live for a very, very... Yeah, I'll live for a very long time. Because, of course, Krishna doesn't want me to die because, you know, because... And then when you hit 60, you think, oh my God, I've spent 40 years not being Krishna conscious. I better be very serious. And then you think, I don't know anything. And that's why it's so embarrassing to come before you today, because you're all devotees who love Krishna. So Prabhupada was speaking about Radharani in the summer of 1966 at Second Avenue. He said, on Janmashtami, we have to fast all day until midnight, because Krishna is very strong and hard. But on Radhashtami, we would only have to fast until 11 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry. Until noon. Because Radharani is soft and kind. Prabhupada's first ever explanation of Radharani is an unforgettable sutra. Prabhupada said that Srimata Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna because she loves him the most. Prabhupada then explained that Srimati Radharani was interested in the welfare of all devotees. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Sometimes when we do think of Krishna, do you sometimes feel separate from Krishna because Krishna's got so much else to do? You know, he's got his flute to play, and he's got to kill demons, and he's got to, you know, expand himself and incarnate himself, and paratranaya sarunam vinashaya chadushkari. He's got to do all these things. He doesn't have time in his busy working day for me. Well, when you feel like that, you should think that Srimati Radharani is also unlimited, like Krishna, She's not just limited to the altar, but she's unlimited in the sense that immediately you pray to her, she will be there for you. A, because she's intimately connected with Krishna. B, because she's interested in your welfare. And we're focusing on this today, not that Krishna is somehow... And Prabhupada said that we could pray to her because she's interested in our welfare. He said, you can't go directly to Krishna. But if Krishna's devotee is pleased with you, then she will recommend you to Krishna, and Krishna will be obliged to give you his mercy. And this is especially true if you get the mercy of Radharani. Okay. He said, try to understand the greatness of Radharani. She's so great, we have to offer our respect. And how is she? Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite. Let's sing that because we need to wake up. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite. And again. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite. Taruni. Taruni means young girls. You will see the pictures. They are all young girls. She is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. She is so beautiful. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite Damodara Rati Vardana Veshe. She always dresses herself nicely, so nicely that Damodar, Krishna, will be attracted by her beauty. She is the only lovable object of Krishna, and she is the queen of Vrindavan. You will find in Vrindavan, so he's talking to a group of people that practically they never heard of Vrindavan, but Prabhupada is talking. He said, if you go to Vrindavan, everybody is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. They are always speaking, Jai Radhe, Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan, they are worshippers of Radharani. So then in his 1968 Radhastami lecture, Prabhupada then went explaining the song, Karunam Kurumai Karuna Bharite Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. He said, Radha Krishna philosophy is a very great philosophy and is understood on the liberated stage, not on the conditioned stage. He said, in the conditioned stage, we worship Lakshmi Narayan by following regulated principles. So in this Vidhi Marga, when you have no love for God or Krishna, you have to follow the regulative principles, and automatically there is practice when practicing. Just like you practice this mridanga playing. In the beginning it is not in order. Prabhupada here, he said about Tribhuvanath. Tribhuvanath, he said, this boy is just bang, 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 bang. He said, but you're all jumping. Just like you practice this mridanga playing. In the beginning it is not in order, but when you become well versed in the practice, the sound will become so nice. Similarly, when we are engaged by regulative principles in the worship of Radha Krishna, that is called Vidhi Marga. And actually, when you are on the love platform, that is called Raga Marga. So without Vidhi Marga, if anyone wants to learn the Raga Marga immediately, that is foolishness. That is foolishness. No one can pass the MA examination without going through the regulative principles or primary schools and colleges. So therefore, and here is Prabhupada is explaining his particular pitch, if you like, the particular thing, because there are many, many things Prabhupada could tell us about Radha and Krishna. But he said, I'm not a storyteller. But Prabhupada's particular pitch was always to speak in this way. He said, so therefore, I do not indulge in the discussions of Radha and Krishna so easily. Rather, go on with the regulative principle at the present moment. Gradually, as you become purified, as you become on the transcendental platform, you will understand what is Radha Krishna. So, Prabhupada is very strict about not jumping ahead of ourselves. Why? Because we always do. Why does the doctor say, don't operate heavy machinery when you take this medicine. Why? Because people always do. They will always drink alcohol and then drive. So you have to say to people, don't drink and drive, because that's the tendency. Don't take this medicine and then operate machinery, because people always do. And when you know what people always do, then you give the instructions, you give the caution. So because there's the tendency to do it, we're always told, please don't do that. And then you may think that you're an exception. You may think, well, of course, yes, that's an instruction to everybody else, but not to me. I would never do that. No, you would. You would. And therefore, this is how the Acharya speaks. Don't try to understand Radha Krishna very quickly. It is a very big subject. If we want to understand Radha Krishna very quickly, then there will be so many Prakriti Sahajas. So this is why we worship Radha and Krishna in all opulence. He said we're worshiping Radha and Krishna through Lakshmi Narayan. So when we gaze upon Radha and Krishna, we're gazing upon a Krishna that is decorated in a particular way, and the formulas are in a particular way, the rituals in a particular way. Just like Radha Krishna dancing, Radha Krishna has become a plaything. The painting Radha Krishna, Krishna's kissing Radha, Radha's kissing, these are all nonsense. Radha Krishna philosophy, you see in many calendars. You see sometimes Radharani is not depicted as a young cowherd girl. She's depicted as a 35-year-old woman. And Krishna's depicted as a 35-year-old man, isn't it? You see popular Hindu calendars. So please don't put these up in your house. Don't entertain these ideas. It is very easy to be put off Radha and Krishna by the artistic imagery that's generated by Hinduism. You'll never know what Radha and Krishna is if you look at Radha Krishna calendars generated by popular Hindu artists. It'll put you right off. Technicolor blue, and you know, she's like this, and they're embracing like this. You'll never understand Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada says this is all nonsense. So take this away and superimpose the teachings of the Acharyas. Radha Krishna philosophy has to be understood by the liberated person, not by the conditioned soul. So we shall await for the fortunate moment when we are liberated, then we shall understand Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir. The hidden glory of the Nrisingadev prayers, and the reason, the real ultimate reason why we sing the Nrisingadev prayers. Yes, Prabhupada said, this is for protection of the Guru. We say in the Nrisingadev prayers to protect the Guru, right, so that the Guru's health is always good. And we sing the Nrisingadev prayers to protect this movement. But the esoteric reason is that the Nrisingadev prayers takes away our lust and our inability to see Radha and Krishna for who they are, so that we will actually understand the love of Radha for Krishna and Krishna for Radha. So these things will become manifest to us. And in that beautiful five-verse prayer that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote to Lord Nrisingadev, his prayer to Lord Nrisingadev is that, my Lord, I will keep singing to you, I will keep worshipping you until Radha and Krishna reveal themselves to me. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is a very illustrious personality, divine personality, who's come, he's instructing us, always have the humility to understand that you've never arrived. Always understand that you're on the journey, and then you'll be safe. Soon as you feel that you have, you know, and therefore, in 1975, this is a very interesting thing. 1975, the Upadeshamrita was translated, and there the last verse is Rupa Goswami, he's glorifying Radha Kund, the lake of Radha. And the first people to realize that there was such a place as Radha Kund were the BBT crew. And they went there, and then they told the book distributors of the Radha Damodar Party, hey, you know, we've just translated this, or Prabhupada's just translated this book, we're going to print this book now. We've called it Nectar. We were trying to decide whether to call it the Nectar of Learning or the Nectar of Instruction, but we've decided to call it the Nectar of Instruction. But it says that this is a special lake, and it is the dearest place of Srimati Radharani. And whoever bathes in that lake will get love of God. Prabhupada didn't tell us about this, but we're going there. Do you want to come? So Prabhupada hadn't said anything about Radhakund. In fact, in general, Prabhupada didn't direct us even to go on pilgrimage in the Braj area, because he knew that the difficulties that that would later on gain for us, as it has. The first people to go there were the devotees of the Radha Damodar party, and you would expect reverential three drops on the head. No, they were having swimming races across Radhakund, whooping and hollering and jumping in the water and woo-hoo! Well, you know, they're full-blooded young Americans, you know, in India. What are you going to do with a full lake of water? It's, you know, down at the waterhole. So this lack of reverence was immediately noticed by Prabhupada, of course, and the word got back to him, and he said, I forbid anyone to go to Radhakund. Now, that was in 75. Prabhupada never quite took that back, although he'd been there with just three or four others, so he took that back. So until I was 32 years old, I never went to Radhakund, because Prabhupada said, don't go there. Now it's practically the first destination that devotees go to. You have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. First destination should be pot washing at the Krishna Balaram temple. That's the first destination. Second destination, Prabhupada Samadhi. Third destination, the kitchen for more pot washing. And in this way, we will truly understand, because Radharani is always pot washing. She's always in the kitchen because she's always cooking for Krishna. And someone who understood that was our dear mother Kalangana, who just passed away. She's always in the kitchen, always cooking for Krishna, always making the sweets for Krishna. Someone who's doing something every day for a lifetime is a person who truly understands. It's all of us, especially the men. We're up and down, up and down. We can't quite focus. Shall I do this? Shall I not do this? Going here, coming there, doing this service, that service, all of that. Prabhupada took his disciples to Vrindavan, and he saw a lady who every day was bringing water from the Yamuna for the service of Radha and Krishna in one temple. And she had been there all throughout the 8 years, 6 years, 8 years, when Prabhupada was writing, and he knew this lady. And now, many years later, he's coming back, and this lady is still doing the same thing. So he's developed this whole international movement, and he's coming back, and he sees this woman, and she's still doing the same thing, bringing the water from the river to worship Radha and Krishna. This was her service. And Prabhupada pointed at her, and he said, you see this woman? This woman? He said, at the end of her life, she's going back to Godhead. Because every day she's doing this faithful service for Krishna. That is really all it takes to be able to do that one service for Krishna with increasing devotion. To perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani, and the devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas, or great souls, are under the protection of Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy, Radharani. So being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna himself. And this is how we can attract Krishna. Only when Radharani says to Krishna, do you see this lady? She's doing these wonderful sweets for you every morning. See this lady? She's bringing water, one jar of water every day for your service. Come rain, come shine. And Krishna is very softened by that. And standing by his side is Srimati Radharani, who softens him even more. There was a person in Jagannath Puri, and he was an atheist. And he thought that there was too much fuss being made of Jagannath. So every day he would go to the temple of Jagannath with one stone, and when no one was looking, he would throw a stone at Jagannath. And the stone would hit the Lord in the face or on the body or his feet or his turban or something. Every day he was going. Every day without fail, that was his service. But his service was committed in such anger. And then one day, the monsoon was just like now in Texas. There's such a heavy, not monsoon, but hurricane. The devotees in our Houston temple, they're using the mercy of Radharani to distribute prasadam to everyone in the local neighborhood. Hare Krishna. So I don't know. I hope the temple is, you know, up a bit. Huh? And in Dallas as well, huh? Gosh, what a terrible thing. So where was I? So it was flooded and there was monsoon and the rain was lashing down and nobody went for darshan. And this person, a famous story, this person, he went by boat, then the boat failed and he swam and he struggled up the stairs and he stubbed his toe going up the steps to see Jagannath. He went into the hall. It was all flooded with no one was there. And he threw his stone. And he heard a beautiful voice say to him, he says, "You are the only person that's come to see me today. For this service, I will grant you benediction to you and your family for generations to come." Thank you. So Krishna is very anxious for even a small service that we do. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the temple commander doesn't see us, or that Shruti Dharma in the temple doesn't see us, or that anybody doesn't see us. Because at every moment, you are under the watchful gaze of Srimati Radharani, because anything that you do that's dedicated to Krishna, she's immediately there. She's saying, go on, keep going. I know it's difficult for you, but keep going. Yes, I know it's hard, chanting my Lord's name over and over again, yes, but keep going. You will gain taste after a while. So this pushing towards Krishna is her. It's her mercy. So even if you don't feel that pushing, it is there. And if we don't feel it, we ask for it. It's the only precious commodity that you can get without starting a war. You want opium? You start a war with the Chinese. You want tea? You fight. You invade India. Okay. You want diamonds? You invade South Africa. You want what else? You want oil? You pretend that Saudi Arabia and America is the best of friends. We've always been the best of friends. Okay? To get a precious commodity, we become the person that we are not. Or we start a war, or we invade something. Here's a precious commodity, the most precious of all precious commodities. You can't buy it. You can't start a war. You can't pretend. There's no diplomacy. It's just a heartfelt cry. And it is a cry. It is a cry. Prabhupada described... He said, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, it's very difficult to approach him. But devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, or finishing now, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. Prabhupada described Radharani as Krishna's tender-hearted female counterpart. And for praying to Radharani, the easiest way is to address her in the Hare Krishna mantra, which is made up of the names of Radha and Krishna. O energy of the Lord, Hara, O Lord, please engage me in your service. Okay. Yes, well, we can go on, but we can't go on. Just give me one. If we approach Krishna through Radharani, through her mercy, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends, this devotee is very nice. I'll point over here as well. Then Krishna immediately accepts, however a fool I may be. Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore in Vrindavan you will find all the devotees, they are chanting more Radha's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you will find the devotees are addressing Jai Radhe. You will still find in Vrindavan, they are glorifying Radharani. They are more interested in worshipping Radharani. Because however fallen I may be, If somehow or another I can please Radharani, and let me tell you, from everything that Prabhupada said, it is not that difficult. It does not take that much of an effort. But if you have the effort inside you, which is also her, then you please make that effort. So, because however fallen I may be, if somehow or another I can please her, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much for kindly listening. And if I have any blessings, I bless you all that Radharani will be your kind supervisor, will oversee your bhakti from this day forward, and will always give you blessings that your heart becomes filled more and more and more with love of Krishna. Right hand in the air, special mudra. Left hand in the air, and we say, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! And now we look at Srimati Radharani, and we say, Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! Srimati Radharani ki jai, Radharani Kripa ki jai.